I mean, I also appreciate Martin Stevens. Love it.
So, all you, man.
All right, guys. Well, and ladies, guys and ladies, I don't know exactly what this class is for. Coach, what is the name of this class?
Leadership.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I wasn't a very motivated guy. I would sit in classrooms and we would have lectures, and I'd be like, okay, I don't care. I just want to get back to my life, what I enjoy. And then I had one teacher made me read this book, and it's all about you got one life. You could do with it what you want, but you ain't getting two, you ain't getting three, no matter how hard you try. And if you want to be a leader, if you want to do something in this world, then daily deposits of having discipline in your life, whether that's exercising, studying. For me, it's studying football so I can be the best coach I can be. That would be the one thing that I would try to emphasize before we get into my job is someone changed my life by telling me, hey, what you do, your daily habits are going to pay off. It's the compound effect. If you put 7 pennies or $1 in the bank account every day, and that compound interest, it's actually going to be a lot more money in the long run than if you took $2 million right now. And so that concept just really kind of hit me. If you want to be a leader, then your daily disciplines better show it. So, all right. Well, coach, well, I'm just going to kind of tell my story, and then we can go with questions, and I'll kind of tell them where I'm at. But yeah, I'm not normal. You guys already look like way better athletes than me. When he said he had a classroom full of athletes, that's not me. I'm 150 pounds right now at 35 years old. In high school, I was like 110 pounds, 105. I didn't play one sport. And so it's quite funny that I'm the head football coach and I've never played a down of anything in high school. So I was actually a musician. My daily deposit was drumming. I wanted to be the absolute best drummer in the world, so I would spend 2 hours a day drumming, drumming, drumming. Wasn't planning on saying this, but why not? We'll go deep in my story. So when I was 12 years old, my band got a record deal with a label out of Canada. And so I was in seventh grade, practicing, practicing, practicing. We knew that in July we were gonna have to go up and record this album. So we were about 5 months out, and I thought I was disciplined. I thought I had the leadership down lock. I thought I was disciplined in my life. We went up there, we recorded. The record label was like, you guys are like children phenoms. Like you guys can blow up. Like you could be rock stars in eighth grade, touring, taking classes in your tour bus. But they said, your drummer is not very good. So you're gonna need to find a new drummer. Well, I'm the drummer. excuse me. So what I did after that, maybe it's because I'm so overlooked and so small and so I'm not the typical, I'm not an alpha male, and that's completely okay. Your teacher is the alpha male. I didn't get that gene. But that crushed me so much. I went and practiced my drums for 2 hours a day for 7 years. I wish I had some cool story like I went on to drum for, I don't know, insert your favorite band. But one thing cool, I guess my band didn't have much success, but I was labeled one of the top drummers in the world, and I got sponsored by my dream drum company, and they would send me free drum sets anytime I want. So that was at 17, 18 years old. I don't know how old you guys are. So the story gets even wilder. So I was really good at Madden. I graduated high school, never played it down, had no clue what I was going to do. You guys have your head on straight. You probably are already getting ready for your ACTs, SATs, all that stuff. No one ever told me about any of that. I never took an SAT or an ACT one time. Couldn't even tell you. I graduated high school with the least amount of the bare minimum requirements that you can absolutely graduate with. So I'm touring in my metal band, 18, 19. We're grinding it out. We're trying to get big. going all across the country, not playing in front of big crowds. We weren't in anything impressive. But I would draw football plays up in a little binder because touring, you're 8 to 10 hours in a car and you're just you, there's nothing to do. My band, they like to drive. I hate to drive. That's the one beauty of being from Wyoming. You're used to driving long distances. So I didn't like to drive, but I would like to do stuff with my time. So I would draw football plays up in a little binder. I think I still have it here. My first playbook right there. I would draw it up. So it was absolutely terrible. But I'm getting to the fun part of the story. One day on tour, the show was super late at night. It was like an 8 o'clock start time. We were there in this small town, Nebraska. I don't know where the frick it was in Nebraska. Sorry, coach. Not professional leadership language. Throwing out the frick word there. I do apologize.
You're in charge.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. My Christian cussing. That's what I call my Christian cussing. So I was drawing up football plays. Check this out. The guitar player in another band came up to me and he said, "Oh yeah, I would beat this with a little post corner action, smash concept with a bender right down the middle by the running back." And I was like, "Who are you?" He just came over my shoulder and he told me how he would destroy this defensive play. And I was like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "Hey man, my name's Dustin Morgan. I'm the guitar player in the band that y'all are playing with tonight." We instantly became best friends. 2 years, we would just text and talk. And then lo and behold, this random guitar player was the head football coach at a small college in North Dakota. So I'm not here to push my faith on you, state separation of faith and state, not what I'm doing. The only way I can describe that is a God moment. You describe it however you want, happen chance, random. I'm with you. Not here to convince you any other way. So all of this of my life, working hard in the background, in the shadows, that 10 times rule, dreaming 10 times more than anyone would let me. That's what this book's about. Hey, whatever you have in your head for your life, it's too small. You need to 10 times what you think you can accomplish in your life. So this guy, I had never played a down of football in my life. I had never coached a down of football in my life. I was really good at Madden. At that point, I was like the second, third ranked Madden player in the world. That was 15, 17 years ago. You guys would probably whoop me. Right now, I can see that guy's face right there. He'd destroy me. He's smirking. He'd probably murk me, coach. But so this guy calls me and he says, "Do you want to come coach college football with me? I will let you mow the field. You can be a quality control and you can mow the field and run the film, run our social media as well." This was before NIL, any of this stuff. And so social media was the forefront of college athletics and recruiting. And so there I was. Y'all are going to face it. You're going to have a fork in the road in your life. And you're going to have to choose. And there might not be a right decision. So just go with your heart and go with your passion. And so I was like, "You know what? We're touring. I don't like driving. I'm going to go coach college football. I'm sick of this touring and rock star life. That's not that rock star. We weren't making millions. It was not rock star life." So I told my band, I said, "Guys, it's been fun." We had been a band. We had started playing with each other since fifth grade. And that was probably 2 years out of high school. So I don't know. You guys are better at math than me. I took like 5 college maths and 3 of them were developmental. So I don't know what 7, 8, 10 years of this band. And I blew it up. Let's go back to the band. We were finally about to explode. Sony Records, you guys probably know who Sony Records is. Sony Films makes some of the Avenger films, one of the top media companies in the world. They had told us, they're like, "Hey, you guys are really good, but you're really close." I had fixed my drumming. Now we were like this super prodigy little young band that all of us were the best musicians in the country. And they're like, "We're going to sign you on a tester album. And if this album blows up, we'll sign you for real. And then we'd be touring in front of thousands every night. So I had a fork in the road. I could have gone down the rock star life, or I could have gone down. I didn't know what it was going to lead to. I had no dreams of being. I hadn't ran into this book yet. I hadn't ran into that teacher yet. So I was like, I had no dreams of being a head football coach for the Camels one day or coaching Division I football. But I was like, you know what? I don't like traveling, so I'm going to go coach. Mind you, all I was the bottom of the coaching poll, like the very bottom, and really good Madden player. But that doesn't matter in college football. So I went up there, decided to coach football, blew up my band. They still hate me to this day. It's a bummer. He was the best man at my wedding. We don't even talk anymore. I did finally start drumming again last few weeks, actually. I got my dream drum set over Christmas. That's really random, not part of the story. But, yeah, I'm just telling you, that part of my life, I kind of blew up, and it stinks. It's hard. You're going to have to make hard decisions, and you want to know the number one rule of leadership? You're going to piss people off, and it's okay. Like, that's part of leadership. You're going to make people mad, but you're going to have to make the right decision, and you're going to have to make the decision that you feel is best. So I made that decision. I start mowing the field. We're terrible, that football team. We didn't win a game. The defense gave up 56 points a game. Here's another little leadership key. You never know what part of your life is going to get you to your dreams. You never know. It was actually my drumming that made him. Okay, so back up real quick. We were the worst defense in the country that year. My first year, I was running social media, quality control. We were the worst defense in the country for our college football division. Well, the head coach, remember, I met him. He was in a band, right? Well, I was one of the best drummers in the world because I had spent that 2 hours a day depositing that skill set, working on my skill set, making myself valuable, making myself talented. Well, he wanted me in his band. So I leveraged what he wanted, and I said, cool, make me the defensive coordinator. And he said, I had never coached a down of football in my life, guys. This is college football. This isn't high school football, peewee football, and junior high. And he said, all right, you drum in my band, you'll be the D coordinator. So everyone immediately in the administration started telling him that's the worst decision. Back then, I mean, I'm a little thicker because I've worked out the last 10 years, gained like 20 pounds, which for me is a lot. For you guys, that's I can tell the guys up front, coach, if you guys want, I can't recruit you. So, yeah, please don't transfer to CCHS and help us win a state title. I can't say that. So I didn't. Never happened. I would deny it if any of you guys said that. But if you want a place to live, come live in my house. We got lots of room. So I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, coach. Let's go back to the whole reason that you brought me here. So at that moment, the administration was so just like, dude, you guys are going to fail. Like, this kid's terrible. What are you doing? This is the death sentence to your head coaching career. Well, little did they know that when you're little and you're overlooked, I know you guys can understand this. When you don't look normal, when you don't talk normal, you kind of have a chip on your shoulder. And that's why you see some of the best athletes like Russell Wilson. And I know he's struggled of recent, but in his prime, he was the man. And a lot of these smaller, undersized guys, it's because they're over Darren Sproles. I mean, if you want to go basketball or whatever sport you're in, I'm sure you can think of the athlete that they don't fit the mold. They're not the prototypical 6'5", Jack, 240, whatever. They've been overlooked, so they have to work hard to get where they want. Well, that's me. I've had to work hard to get everything that I've wanted. So everyone thought it was going to be a bad hire. In my very first year, we cut points in half. We went from 56 to 28. Good stuff. We won 3 games. They hadn't won a game in 7 years. The second year, so in 2 seasons, we went from the worst defense to the best. We were the number one defense. We gave up like 70 rushing yards a game, forced 48 takeaways. That's like, we played 10 games, so that's like 5 takeaways a game. Can you imagine, you football players, 5 turnovers a game? Like, that was still one of the most magical years. I convinced the leading tackler of California to come play for me at this small college in North Dakota. So this dude had walk-on offers from Division I schools. He come plays NAIA D3 football, and this dude's just owning. I mean, he's undersized, but the dude led the state of California. I mean, he came out the same year, like the legendary, they won't remember this, coach, but like Clay Matthews, Ray Malugu, all those dudes from USC, all of that linebacker crew that won, like he came out that year and he was in that same conversation with those dudes. He was just too small. So he finished his career. No one still believes me, and we were so small time that it's not verified. He finished his career with like 600 tackles. It's a record at any level, like D1, D3, D2. He has more tackles than anyone ever, but no one will ever know because it was so small time. They'll never give it to him. So we go from the worst defense to the best. I get named coach of the year, totally revolutionizes my career. I go from this little dinky dink coach who's good at Madden and a good drummer to, oh my gosh, this kid knows what he's doing. So I start getting some, here's where you guys are going to laugh and the story gets weird. I start getting some offers from bigger schools down in Texas that want to hire me. Well, I don't have a degree. That's how clueless I am. No one's ever told me, hey, you should probably get your SAT and ACT. Remember, in high school, when all the athletes like are, you know, hey, getting ready to go play college football and taking, and hey, that's you ladies too. Volleyball, I don't want to discount anything. That's just my world, football. But I come from Nebraska where volleyball is God. And so I do want to respect women's athletics, basketball. Like I'm all for it. I love it. So, man, the women's volleyball team in Nebraska was way better than us. So they should have given all our funding to the volleyball team. They were ranked second. I don't know. Do any of you girls play volleyball?
Not in this
No.
school. Yeah,
No one
we're not.
plays volleyball? Okay, dang. Coach, I can't see. Did someone raise their hands?
Yeah, we got one gone and one in the back, and then the other class has a couple too. Maddie, give them a
Okay, no,
wave.
you don't have to show her. You don't have to embarrass. Oh, there she is. Let's go. But so I say all that to say, all right, my career's starting to go. We're starting to do things. Well, you know, and every good story, you know, it hits rock bottom again, right? You get up and then, oh, every good movie, oh, what's gonna happen? The hero, he's hit rock bottom. Well, I go down to Texas. Well, actually, no, I got to make this quicker, but for 5 years, I grind taking college credits and being a full-time college football coach, which is exhausting. You're recruiting nonstop. I just got married. Literally, you're on your phone all night while I'm doing homework. I'm still exhausted from it. So I grind, get my degree. And then I finally have the degree that everyone wanted. I go coach in small time Texas college football, which was absolutely awesome. But I go back to school and I get my film degree. I just had this itch for we're kind of starting to get into the name, image, likeness here. I got this itch to go be a film major and learn the film side in Wyoming. I don't know, maybe they have it, coach. I don't know if what they have in Casper, but actually in Gillette, I took a film class in high school. It was the coolest thing I ever did. I actually made a music video for my band. It was terrible. The music video was absolutely terrible. We were out in the woods. I don't know. I think I had told my lead singer to like try and play guitar underwater. I don't know. It was terrible, but it was a blast making it. So when I go down to this Texas and I'm like, wait, there's film degrees? I start grinding again, and there's that fork in the road. I had to get an internship. And I could keep coaching small-time college football, or I could get my foot in the door on big-time college football. So I made the hard decision. I got out of coaching small-time college football, and I went and did an internship with TCU, which they were just in the college football playoffs a year ago. Big-time program. I've been around a few big-time programs, and I would say they have the most beautiful facilities that I've ever. I mean, marble, granite floor. It's just absolutely gorgeous. If you can ever get an opportunity to go visit TCU, the facilities are insane. The fan base, it's not like it was at Nebraska, but the facilities at TCU were absolutely incredible. So go to TCU. You're in college football, you are scum of the earth if you are an intern or anything small. So you're just grinding, trying to get anything. Zero respect at TCU, which I don't like. That's fine. Like, not offended. Love all of them. That staff, great staff. But this is kind of what you do. You hop around. So I did catch the. So I was in the recruiting department. You're like, what are you doing? So here we're starting to get into the name, image, likeness of college or of college athletics. So I was in the recruiting department making content for their top players. So like, if Johnny comes in and he's the number two quarterback in Texas and he's on a visit, I'm going to take pictures and I'm going to make and videos and I'm going to make videos and graphics of him. Super weird. I should have had some examples for you guys. Yeah, I should have came prepared for that. But it's just, have you guys seen the edits? Do any of your peers or other schools or anyone there at Kelly Walsh, I don't know if they've been recruited and they tweet out their recruiting graphics and it's like, hey, thanks for recruiting me, blah, 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 or thanks for the offer, or thanks for the official visit. I'm sure you guys have seen it. But that was kind of what I was doing. I was just an intern grinding. My poor wife, she's working two full-time jobs trying to keep us afloat while I'm not getting paid anything. Caught the attention of Baylor. I go get my first full-time job that paid big bucks. At that juncture, small-time college football, I mean, you're getting probably $15,000, $20,000. I mean, you're eating peanuts. So we had grinded that way. And I go down to Baylor, got a full-time job in the recruiting department there. We were a mess. How many of you guys know the mess of Baylor 10 years in the rape scandal? Do any of you know that story, or are you guys too young? They're just young pups. Well, I can't hear, Coach. Can you echo it for me?
It sounds like their answer is a no.
Okay. All right. Well, five football players get into some insanity, don't treat women with respect, and the whole football program blows up. They yank all their scholarships. It was a disaster. They won zero games. So that's when I got there with the new staff. Matt Rhule, he's now at Nebraska. He was the Carolina Panthers head coach. He's now what's funny is I worked for him and then he fired me at Nebraska. We're getting into that story. We'll get there. But so at Baylor, I'm on Matt Rhule's staff. It was a blast. I love that staff. We take the worst team in college football, had won zero games the year before, or they might have won one, and we get to six wins, go to a bowl game, beat Vanderbilt in the Texas Bowl in Houston. And then that was right when I'm not expecting everyone to be obsessed with college football like me, but that was right in the Scott Frost when he was the hottest coach in college football. He took over UCF. They beat Georgia in the Peach Bowl, or I don't know, some bowl game. They beat Auburn. Coach Frost was just, you know, small-time college football. And then he gets the job at Nebraska, and he was the hottest coach in college football. Everyone wanted to hire him. He said he had Oregon, Florida, Tennessee all offer him. And I was like, Coach, why didn't you take Florida or Oregon? Why did you take Nebraska? But he had played college football at Nebraska, so that was home to him. So that was my first big boy role. He hired me as a director. At Baylor, I was just full-time. But this was my first director. I was finally a director in the recruiting department, and my team led all the creative of Nebraska football. So I would run around, and dude, if you guys get a glimpse into D1 football, it's everything, or athletics, volleyball. I told you is bigger at Nebraska. So ladies, it's just as awesome. I mean, the volleyball team at Nebraska gets treated better than the football team. It's pretty cool. But D1 football is everything you've dreamed of. I would get $2,000 worth of Adidas gear. Like, I had an Adidas credit card every year, and they would just load on $2,000 at Christmas and in the summer, and they'd be like, okay, you go on the Adidas website, you can get whatever you want, just swipe away $2,000. So for the last 4 years, every 6 months it'd get and I'd just go buy my family. So therefore I'm obsessed with NMDs. I don't know if there's any shoe people out there, but NMDs was like my jam, so I would just spend all my money on NMDs. And I'm not trying to make you sound cool because I got fired. I'm not cool, but I am trying to tell you that D1 is everything they talk about, but it's a job. So if that is a dream of yours to go work or coach or play, D1 is a job, nonstop, up at 5, up at 6, weight room every day, workouts at night, film in the morning. Okay, you go work out 5, then we got QB meetings at 6. It's a job, so just understand that. It is amazing. You get gear. Now, let's get into the NIL. That was – so my second year, we started to hear the rumblings that NIL is coming. And Frost, who was the head coach when I was there at Nebraska, worked for him. He wanted to be at the forefront of everything. He had the 10-time mindset. Like, all right, whatever you're thinking, we got to outthink everyone. So we started hearing rumblings that you're going to be able to start pay players. That's what it is. You can start paying players to play college athletics. So we developed a plan of how we're going to recruit. So I actually gave a presentation when our recruits came on campus. I would get 30 minutes with them, and I would tell them what my team was going to do to build their brand. So I would say, hey, when you come here, I've got a team of five of the best photographers and videographers in the world. They're going to follow you around when you're in the weight room, when you're doing in the community, giving back to the community. We're going to run around and film you and take photos of you, and we're going to build your brand. So your Instagram, you're always going to have photos, and you're always going to have videos to blow up your gram and build your brand. Sure enough, I wonder if this coach, can you see my screen here? I probably have to hit that, don't I?
We still see your face.
All right, I'm going to pull this up before I share. Oh, perfect. Oh, this is absolutely perfect. All right, share my screen. See, it's funny. I work with technology, and I don't know how to use it. All right, here we go. All right. Okay, I don't know if this is. Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
I'll try and zoom in here real quick. So this was actually one of our athletes. He's one of my best friends, JoJo Doman. He was at Nebraska, and he was our first subject. Just like, that's why I said, hey, this is perfect when I pulled it up. This was one of our other guys, Casey Thompson. He was our QB at Nebraska. He's got 102,000 followers. You see that? That was my job. I had to build their brands. I had to boost their grams. This dude right here, JoJo Doman, he only has 15,000 followers, but I taught him the importance of building his brand. I hope I don't see anything wild. See if I can get down to the stuff I made him. Yeah, so these are all photos and videos that my team made him. This is all of our stuff here. Random photo shoots. This was all what we did. Frost hired me and said, hey, go make our guys look like the best. We made this video. No sound to it, but you can kind of see this was my job. My team made all these highlight reels. So we would make, actually, this is his video saying he's declaring for the draft. Let's see if I can get back. I know we made him some highlight reels too. Yeah, that's probably one there. Oh yeah, here we go.
Let me stack in these shit. I get back with these hips. See the face of the sick is my tight head. Been the star, so I know that they might stand. Something will make sure you stand. Nice play. I got the ball, I won't fumble. Sit the hell and watch the cookie crumble. Check the clock and listen to what it comes to. Be lying to you, I'm the lion in the jungle. I'm trying, but it's the reason that I'm humble. Besides, my this music is my struggle. Be quiet, you play it cool, watch me listen. That's your control, if I trust you, can you bring me down? I'm gonna leave the trouble. Try your family love you. Start a riot, you won't get to trust you. Look fight, you're hitting your bubble. Just to be a bull, son, and gave it over. You can check out the scars on my knuckle. My soul's suspicious, relentless, attacking my sight. I won't bottom my mark from the bullets.
So then, like, that logo right there, my team designed that logo for him. So that's what we did. And we did all of it for NIL. Frost wanted to be at the forefront. And we did. We would get some of the best recruits in the country because they're like, dude, we had the best creative team in the country. My final year. So let's see. How did I get into being a Division I coach? All right. We got to stop sharing this screen before I accidentally show you something and get in trouble. Just kidding, coach. But let's talk about how I became a Division I football coach. So do any of you remember my story? This better be in the paper. Do any of you remember how I became a football coach the first time? What did I do? I was a drummer. Well, how did I become a Division I football coach? I was really good at film and video because I went to film school in Texas. So I leveraged that. My last year, I kid you not, USC, Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas, all offered me, and Georgia, it was 2 weeks after they won the Natty, all offered me director, $150,000 paying jobs on their recruiting staff to come do what I just showed you I did for JoJo. And I told Coach Frost, I leveraged my talents and what God has given me. And I said, Coach, I don't want to go be on recruiting anymore. I will stay here if you give me a raise and you make me a Division I football coach. And he said, deal. He didn't blink. He said, it's done. Within one day, they changed the title on the website, title in my office, and I was a Division I football coach when I had never played a down of football in my life. I had never coached a down of football in my life. I was 110 pounds in high school. I was a nobody. But I made myself valuable. Business, leadership, one-on-one. What is going to differentiate you? What makes you different from everyone else? That's how you get big-time jobs. When you want to get a job, what's different? So let's fast forward. Nebraska. That final year, I was finally a Division I football coach. They said, the AD, very weird, came out and said, you have to win six games or you're all fired. Six games. You guys got to win six games or you're all fired. We got to five. And we beat, I was offense. I was QB quality control. We beat the number one defense our final game. Number one defense in college football, Iowa. Iowa was the number one ranked defense. That QB that you saw, Casey Thompson, the photo beneath the linebacker, he was our QB. He threw for like 350, three touchdowns. We smacked him. We had never beat Iowa since I'd been there. We were on an eight-game losing streak to Iowa. We beat them. We won five games. We lost the other game by a point. We don't get to six games. We're all fired. Done. Gone. I was telling Coach, the reality of in this industry, you haven't coached very long if you haven't been fired, hired, promoted, demoted. Like in this industry, all the times is just ebbs and flows. So what are you going to do? You can sit there and you can feel sorry for yourself, or you can say, what's next? What's next? That's what Matt Rhule always said. He always said, what's next? Which is funny. Matt Rhule was the head football coach that got hired when we all got fired. So I was so talented, they wanted to keep me, but they didn't want me to coach because Frost promoted me to coach. So they're like, hey, you can go back to recruiting. We'll keep you. And I said, nah, you can fire me now. So he fired me, which was awesome because it gave me 3 months severance, which means I got my full salary for 3 months. Didn't have to do nothing. Best time of my life. That was a year ago, like exactly, like to the day. I'm just sitting around making bank, D1 salary, and I'm just chilling with my family for 3 months. It was amazing because I hadn't seen them for 10 years. D1, you're constantly working nonstop. You hardly see your family. So it was amazing. I thought I was going to be a head coach at a small college in Minneapolis. They wanted to start a football program. Once again, I'm always underlooked. And even in the current role, you have people that are, oh, he's not going to turn around. And that's fine. I love it. What do you young pups say when the haters hate? I don't know. You probably have some pop culture better than that. That's probably 20 years ago still. But I love it when I'm overlooked. So now here's to our current story. The head football coach of Camels. I'm sitting here doing nothing. I don't have a job. And so I was like, well, you know what? It's not D1. I don't care. I just want to go coach and be around some young men and mentor them and love on them, be as nice as I can. The Camels have kind of been a joke the last few years. So why not? Let's go take over that football program and just have fun. And that's where I'm at now, guys. I love it. I love where I'm at every day. New challenges, new differences, but it's pretty cool. And I will say, you got a pretty awesome teacher there, man. He's become a close, quick friend in the last few months getting to know him. He's one of the only coaches to come up and be cordial, but I get it. I look like I'm 12, so I totally understand it. Every game this year, the refs were like, who's the head coach? And they'd be like, oh, that's got to be the head coach, Micah, the old 55-year-old guy. And Micah was like, nope, I ain't the head coach. And they'd be like, oh, that has to be the head coach. He's 6'5", 230, Bob Vomhoff used to play. Nope, that's the coach. And the refs would be like, you're kidding me, right? There's no way that's the coach. And I'd be like, hi. And I'd go shake their hands. And I pull the awkward thing. I know I'm awkward. So I lean into it on purpose. So, all right. Is there any questions?
Can I ask them one just real fast because they're all thinking it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Those of you who know Coach Mowdy, how many of you had this thought that Coach Garson and Coach Mowdy are like twins separated at birth or like came from the same foster home or somehow they must be connected? Anyone who's played football or had Mowdy in class, you look at this guy and you're like, he's the Campbell County version of Mowdy, right? I just had to say because I had some whispering it over here at the first 5 minutes they're already saying that about you.
I love it. I gotta convince Coach Mowdy to abandon you guys and come coach with me. He sounds like my lost brother, or we were in the same orphanage as Coach, so poetically pointed out.
Okay, you guys have to have questions, if not about the story and like the crazy path he's taken to get where he is. The NIL stuff, we just barely touched that. Like, we know what it is, and that's about it. You guys have to have questions about how that works and what he does with that and what prospective college athletes should be doing. I mean, here,
Coach, do you want me to just show him real quick what my current company does?
Please.
I think that would probably, I've totally forgot that aspect. I got locked into the story.
Like, I think a lot of them look at you and go like, what do you do all day? You don't teach history or PE like the rest of the football coaches in America. What do you do?
Man, that would be so much easier if I did. Golly, I wish I did. All right. So here's what I do. This is our company. Can you guys see?
Yeah.
All right. So this is our company now. It's called Mercury. We work with some of the biggest schools. He's from Kansas basketball. I don't know if there's any hoopers. He was a stud for Kansas basketball. He runs a channel for Jayhawks, Rock Chalk Jayhawks, it's called. She was a stud volleyball player for Kentucky. And then where's our Rock Chalk boys? Yeah, our Red Dirt Rambles. So these guys are currently, see if I can, these guys are currently stars for Oklahoma football. This one specifically, not Caden Helms, Nick Anderson. There it is. Nick Anderson is a star receiver. He just had 2 touchdowns in their bowl game. I think they lost though. I can't remember, but, so we work with some of the top athletes in the country and my team creates all this content. Like they'll do long form podcasts. So they're just sitting and they'll like interview people. Like I think, you see them talking on the microphone. They have a podcast. But then we make short forms. Like, y'all call them reels. Let's see if I can find some of our reels here. Shorts, I guess they're called. So we make – this is what my team makes. We make all these short forms. I'm trying to find one of – so these are all some of the top athletes in Division I football right now. I don't know. Here you go. So I don't know. One of my guys made this video.
Every time I've went, my experience has been isn't really that good, except for when I go at 1 o'clock. If you go at 1 o'clock, whoever's
I don't know, he's arguing about Whataburger and In-N-Out. So we make this content and you say, okay, how does that get back into their money? Well, the University of Oklahoma, who has billions of dollars, or at least $800-900 million, they pay us to, once again, it goes back to what I did at Nebraska and what Georgia and Oklahoma wanted me to do. We build their players' brands and we get them on social media. A lot of them don't blow up, but then you'll have one that gets 7,000, and then a lot of them around like the 800 views. But then out of nowhere, I'm trying to find one that will blow up. You know, you get 5,000, which isn't anything. That's not, I'm not lying and saying that's amazing. That's actually pretty average. But the difference, what we're doing is we get the athletes before they're big. Like him, Nick, he's a freshman. When he's a senior and he's the top number one overall receiver, which he's starting as a freshman and he's owning people as a freshman. When he's starting as a junior, and he's, you know, first round wide receiver, then these views are going to get 20, 50,000, 800,000. That's when these blow up. So that's kind of what I do, coach. I know you guys got to get going. They probably got to get out of class. But so in a nutshell, we build these athletes' brands, and we just signed a big deal with Penn State. And I don't know if you guys I know I keep acting like y'all like football. You might not, but we signed a deal with Raheem Morris. He's the leading rusher in the NFL. So, Morris, yeah, we'll go interview. We just signed his, oh, wow, not Raheem Morris. Oh, my gosh, Mostert. Raheem Mostert. Yeah, we just signed Raheem Mostert to his own podcast. So, where is that showing up? Relent. Coach, I can't spell, and I went to school for I have a master's degree, and I still can't spell. So we just signed Raheem Mostert. So this is so we just started his podcast, so that's kind of it in a nutshell. We're just a media company, and then we make shorts and reels out of them. Like I said, some of them don't do anything, some of them blow up, some of them don't. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Coach, or these guys probably need to get out of here?
No, we actually have lots of time. We got 85-minute blocks, so we're good for a while. You're good.
Oh,
what's the process of launching a podcast? Like, what do you do with him? He sends you the recordings, and you guys market it, or how does that work?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly it. So I'll show you. So here's my account with – oh, I got to share the screen. You guys ain't seeing nothing. Man, Matt, now I got Mowdy on my mind. I got to meet this guy, dude. All right. Okay, all right. Here we go. So can you guys see it? Are we good?
Yeah, we see it. Chrome tab.
All right. So, so I go to my drive here. And that's exactly what happened. So we have here's all the schools we work with. Jayhawks, Penn State, Kentucky, Second Wind. They're awesome. They're just former NFL players. They're a hoot. So they're actually not affiliated with any school. So yes, they send us our content. They send us their videos, and then my team creates it and edits it. So I don't know who they're talking with.
Yeah, here. It's like, I feel like people don't really look at Trevor like they look at Johnny, because
I don't know, they could be cussing, so I need to not show you too much. Here they interviewed Ryan Shazier, so they just
forever.
They'll just go interview there. They have all, I don't know, he was the NFL linebacker that got paralyzed with the Steelers, but he's all doing good. So here's our content page. I'll show you the raw content. This is on the ready to post. Here we go. So here's exactly what they do. Like, let's go with the Oklahoma boys. So they'll film an episode, and then here's all the raw content, like camera one. So here's the angle for camera one, and it's not going to let me preview it. But and then we turn it into long form and short form. We'll make a long form podcast for YouTube, and then we'll do reels for TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell. But, yeah, that's exactly what happens. My team is all connected on this Google Drive, and we just have tons. And then we use this. Can you see this thing that I just popped up, or did that not work, this Basecamp? Did this pop up?
Yeah.
So this is what it looks like. So I can go look what I'm assigned. And it says, hey, you have this video that I need to create. And then it tells me everything that I need to do. And it gives me the footage. So I click on it, and then I go download this footage. This looks like a Penn State sizzle reel of something. I don't know. So my whole team. And then I can go look what my team's doing. So if I want to go home, I can go see if their videos are good or not. If I need to tell them, hey, you need to go redo that again. So this guy, one of my workers, just made this video. I go through, I watch it, and then I add comments, and I'm like, hey, you need to go fix this. You need to fix this. You spelled this word wrong. Your color grade looks wrong. You, he looks too purple. You need to make him his skin tone look better. Like nerd camera talk there. So, but and then once it's ready, our social media team will then go post it to the proper accounts. So hopefully that kind of gives you a little bit nutshell of what I do. Man, half of me wishes I worked a normal job and just taught. It can be exhausting. Social media is nonstop. So I mean, on the weekends, it's like, hey, I want to get a breather, or hey, I want to coach football. Hey, we have a game this Friday. And it's like, nope, you still got to get that video done. And it's like, and you're exhausted. So sometimes I wish I did have a normal teaching job, but that's kind of it in a nutshell. There is a lot of benefits. I work from home. I work on my time. So like right now, I can do what I want. I can go upstairs, kiss my kids. I can play my drum set for 20 minutes, work on football, go look at some random coaching film. So there is a lot of benefits, but there's a lot of negative to it as well. So
questions do you guys have for Coach Garst?
What was your best football season you had? Best record in season record for football?
So as a D coordinator, we went 6-4, which for that school is amazing. They hadn't won a game in 10 years. So we went 6-4, very average for like the elites. And then the small time school that I coached for in Texas, they went 10-2, or we went 10-2, and I think won the division, NAI, that division. We didn't go any far. And then at Nebraska, we were terrible, man. I think Frost, we had won 4 games until that last year. We won 5, should have won 6. And then this year, the Camels were 6-4, which, I mean, that's average, not good or bad, but it's better than what the Camels have been lately. So, but no, I wish I had like a state championship to my name or like some national title, but no, not yet. Not yet. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What's the biggest challenge you faced becoming the head coach at Campbell County?
Dude, parents. They're parents. Oh my gosh. Y'all's parents. Holy smokes. Well, this kid hasn't played it down in football. Well, what is he doing? How does he know what he's doing? Well, how can he? Look at him. He's 120 pounds. He's played Madden. How is my son going to respect him? I mean, just, you know, once again, just it's hard. The parents and them thinking that they have all the answers, it's very hard. Now, here's the deal. I talk poorly about your parents, but I am one. So I'm probably going to be the same way. When my daughter plays sports, I'm probably going to be the same way. That's the hardest challenge. The administration believes in me, and the parents do now. Now, in this industry, as coach will tell you, I mean, you have one winning season. The next year, you're not promised anything. So, the parents are on my side for now, but in a year, who knows? Who knows? But that's been the biggest challenge, is just dealing with the, once again, man, coach, I got to figure out a better pop culture term. The haters just sounds too like elementary. The naysayers, the non-believers, but the haters are hating, man. That's what makes the Camel's job hard. The football side's easy. That my brain is constantly running plays in my head. The X's and O's, the football side, that's the easy part. It's the what comes with coaching, as coach can tell you. That's the hard part of it. So that's a good question. Thank you. Ask me a good question. Anyone got Madden? Anyone want to play Madden later? Oh, we can get your gamer tag. I can. Oh, yeah. Let's go. What's your name? I love it. Let's go. Well, who's your team?
Seahawks.
Ooh. If you play online with the Seahawks, you're a man. I got to play you, brother. We put $100 on it. Let's go. You can take my money. I'm not that good anymore.
Who's your team?
I've been rocking the Dolphins. I'm on a 26-game win streak with the Dolphins. So that's who I've been rocking lately. Tyreek Hill's hard to guard.
How about Coach Garson? Question for you: What's a leadership tool that you didn't think you would need or have to rely on as a head football coach? Like one that was surprising to you going in?
Yeah, I think how lonely it is. Leadership is very lonely, and I wasn't ready for that, and I didn't have the friends around me outside of athletics to support me in that. You got to make a lot of hard decisions. You're going to piss a lot of people off, and it's very lonely. And sometimes you stand alone, and it sucks. So I think for you guys, so you don't have to make that mistake, there is a tactful way to disagree with people. You don't have to be blunt like I am. I'm very blunt when I disagree with people. If you learn the tactful way to say, hey, good idea, but, and then like rephrase it for them so you don't feel like you're completely disagreeing with them. And then also understand, though, that regardless of how tactful you are, you're going to make enemies and people aren't going to like you. And you just got to be okay with that. You have to be okay with understanding that the cost of leadership is you're going to make people mad, and it can be lonely at times. So hey, can you guys teach me one of your favorite leadership? I still got lots to learn on it. What's coach, put someone on the spot and have them teach me their favorite leadership lesson or key or tip that they would give.
I'll have Landon Walker explain standards and how we categorize standards into three areas, whether it's like football, classroom, whatever. Walker, you got it. Stand up. Teach. And hey, instead of just the words, you got to teach them, like, what do you do with the green?
Okay.
So standards, definitely one of the most important things on, like, the classroom, the football field, anything like that. And it's just how accountable you hold your teammates, friends, classmates to. And the sayings we have for it, there's green people who go above the standard, bring people up to the green and are the example. The gray people who they like do the standard, but they don't do anything above and beyond. And then the red are the people trying to, like, pull them down, do their own thing. They don't, like, listen, not trying to get better. And so the green people, for our saying, we try to sway the gray and pull them up to green. The red people, we try to remove the red.
What do you do with the green?
We grow the green. And so...
Woo! Grow the green, sway the gray, remove the red. I like it. Hey, Landon, great job, man. Coach, is that Landon your stud? Was that the stud DN that we couldn't block?
He was the stud slot receiver. We had two good DNs. One of them sitting two seats. I don't know if you can see him. The Viking Warlord. That's Ortberg.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the hair under the helmet.
He was the one with the long hair flow. And then Boyce was 32, the other DN.
Yeah, no, dude, man. Oh, I love Kelly Walsh football. Please take down Natrona. Please take down Natrona.
That's a bad word, Coach. You can say frick all you want, but we say black and orange school in here.
I love it. Don't even mention their name. That's beautiful. That's the other school across town for us too, man. They're not even worth saying their name. I love it.
Don't say it out loud or he'll make you guys do boom booms. How do you manage that? Because you're a camel, but back when you were a camel, there was no other gig in town. And like, obviously the way your season ended was really interesting given who it was against. Football players probably know they were at home against the bad guys in blue and silver who they spanked in the regular season, but then they lost in the playoffs to their rival. So, like, how do you manage that? Do you make a big deal of that? Do you kind of trivialize it? Do you just ignore it till the game week? Like, what's your philosophy on rivalries?
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to name drop so I look cool. I'm trying to name drop so you know this comes from a lot smarter people than me. So because of my connections at Nebraska, I had one Super Bowl winning coach who's retired, two D1 coaches that have won national championships, one just won one with SDSU, the Jackrabbits, a year ago. I don't know. Did they beat the Grizz this past weekend? I don't know this year, but I know last year they won.
They spanked Does anyone them last know? Night. They're back-to-back. I'm a Bobcat, so I had to watch the Grizz lose.
Oh, I'm sorry, Coach. But big Jackrabbits fan. I do apologize. I'm sorry. But they said the kids understand how big of a game it is, so like, let them know. And that's what my friend who coached at LSU with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson, he said, let them know how big a game it is. They want to be in it. Like, hey, it's a big game. You should want to be in big games if you're a dude. Like, yeah, it's a rivalry. Like, yeah, this is a big game. But this big game won't matter if you don't take care of the games before it, right? So, you know, Coach, it sounds like your culture, you got your culture down on wraps. Your players are repeating. I love that saying. I'm going to steal that. That's awesome. So, great job, Landon. Good stuff, man. But, no, I'm pissed. I'm competitive. I hate how the year ended. That was ridiculous. But it is. It's changing the culture. We weren't ready for the cold. Thunder was way more tougher, and they wanted it more. And we looked like we were freezing out there, didn't want to be there. So, it's just changing the culture and getting tougher. And so, yeah, still got a long ways to go, man. Still got a long ways to go.
Who else has a question for Coach Garth?
Since you've been at, like, pretty much most levels of football, what, when you were in college, made the high school players stand out most to you? Like, what made you, like, find them, see them?
Ooh, good question. So that goes back to what I talked about earlier, the differentiating factor. What differentiates you? You're a receiver, so you better have in one elite trait. Like, you better be the fastest dude on the field, or you better have the best hands on the team. Like, if we're talking strictly your position, if we go to D end, you better be the twitchiest, get off on in Wyoming, or you better have the stats to back it up. Or if you don't have the stats, you better be the freakiest athlete, or you're just the biggest, tallest dude on the, like, you have to have some differentiating factor that makes you stand out. So you got size, speed, you got it all. So you're going to go places, man. You're a stud. But I would just make sure that you have one differentiating factor that when someone turns on your film, they're like, dude, this dude has the best hands on the in the state, signed close. Like, he doesn't drop anything. Or, I mean, you get it. You kind of get what I'm saying. Does that make sense? Now, obviously, you want the grades, and you want the character, and you want the work ethic. Absolutely. But I've been at the highest level, and we didn't mention one of that stuff. We didn't say, what's this kid's grades? I know, Coach, you're going to shoot me, and you're going to be like, what? No, trust me. You need to take care of your grades or you won't be eligible. So that's why we never talked about it, because if you're not eligible, we just don't recruit you. So that's why grades is a big deal, is because we won't think about you. But we never brought up a kid's like, oh, this kid has a 4.0. No, we're like, dude, look at this kid's get off. They can't block this kid. Or look at this guy's vision. He sees everything on the football field for quarterbacks. So you just have to differentiate yourself, and you got to be a man amongst boys. Like, you have to stand out. Like, if we're going to recruit you, especially from Wyoming, when we turn on your film, you have to be absolutely dominating. Like Dane Steele, you know, that we didn't have anyone dominate. I think we have a lot of talent on the Camels, but we didn't have anyone like take over. Like, the one dude that I think like takes over, you guys had multiple. I don't want to offend any of you, so we'll just talk. We won't talk Camels, and we won't talk Kelly Walsh. Let's just talk Dane Steele. I mean, that dude is just on the football field. Anytime he touched the ball, there was seven camels missing tackles. So that's what we were looking for. We were looking for someone that just stood out.
Can we quiz Omar right here in the front row? What's the D1 minimum GPA to get a scholarship, Omar?
2.3.
You learned something. That's wonderful.
It was 2.0. Is it 2.3 now?
Yeah, D1 is 2.3 and D2 is 2.2.
Okay. Yeah, down in the boondocks of NAIA and D3, it's 2.0. Ha ha ha. You don't have to be very smart to play NAIA football, which I love NAIA football. It was a blast. So, come on, you guys got to have more questions.
How about on the recruiting huddle highlight stuff? What's your overall advice? Because, like, they hear what I say, and some of them probably Google it or see other people on Twitter. But what – because especially the video world, that's really your thing. So say these guys got a highlight film. What general advice do you have – for them to make that stand out and show what the coaches want to see?
Yep. I would just don't overthink it. Make sure they know who you are. Like, make sure you're highlighted so we know who the heck you are and who we're watching. And then A game only. Do not put a play on there that you don't want anyone seeing. If it's average, you cut it. And if you only have 5 elite plays, then you only put your 5 elite plays on. Don't let them see something on film of you doing anything bad. Does that make sense? If they want to recruit you and watch your game film, they can go find it then. But there's a lot of lazy coaches that will go off just your huddle highlight reel, and they'll never watch your game film. They'll watch your 5 plays, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, that 5 plays is who he is, when you might be the laziest kid on the field. So – Just put your A game only.
So better short and good than long and mediocre.
Yes. So many kids have these 8-minute highlight reels, and it's like, what coach you think has that time? I mean, D1, we had 25 recruiters on staff, and they're watching all these kids' high schools trying to find diamond in the rough. They don't got time to watch 20-minute highlight reel. Make it quick, brief in your A game. And you're good. And don't be afraid of playing small-time college ball, wherever you are. Men, women, in today's transfer portal, you could go dominate D2 and then transfer on an NIL deal, D1. Like, Ohio State, are they recruiting high school kids anymore? Barely. They're just going to go get the best transfer portal QB, which they just did. They just got... I don't even know if he's the best, but he's the K-State guy, Will Howard, I think. I forget his name, but it's just changing the landscape of college athletics, where you guys might have been able to go D1, where now even Wyoming, the University of Wyoming, they're raiding the transfer portal. You might have to go D2 and prove yourself. Like, it's a very weird athletic world. So if you only get a D2 offer or an NAIA offer, like, it's okay. Like, that's still really awesome. Go enjoy it and then kick butt while you're there and transfer up if you want. So that would be my advice.
Question.
Yeah. What is your favorite rivalry that you've been a part of, and what made that rivalry special?
Excellent question, my man. Excellent question. So it's definitely a tie. Thunder Basin Camels is beautiful. We absolutely hate each other so much that the town talks crap 365 days a year. I'll go to Walmart, see a Thunder Basin kid. They'll stare me down and talk crap to me, and I just laugh. I love it. Beautiful rivalry. So nonstop talking crap between schools, it's beautiful. But the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry, there wasn't anything like it. We lost. So I was at Nebraska for 4 years. We lost to them the first 3 years and 5 years prior. Do any of you know who, what is his name? The stud tight end from the Niners. Is it George Kittle?
Yeah.
Yeah, he talked crap about me on Twitter. That's how beautiful that rivalry is. He's from Iowa, and he called out me. He said, whoever runs the social media for Nebraska is a joke. Like, he was making fun of me, and I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, I was like, hey, George Kittle, I'm never going to pick him up in fantasy football anymore because I'm angry at him, but I'm just kidding. But that, like, they beat us on a game-winning field goal 3 years in a row, and their kicker, like, came over to our sideline and acted like he was peeing on, like a dog on a fire hydrant. Like, we just hated that. Iowa. Like, you remember that. But then we finally got him the last year. So we went out on top. We went out as winners. We finally beat him. It was beautiful. I'll never forget. So it's called the Heroes Trophy. So we ran over to their sideline and took the Heroes Trophy. And one of the crazy Iowa fans was holding on to it. And so the football players were like trying to yank it. She's like, you can't have it. And I was like, hey, we won, lady. Get over it. So I don't know. That was a really fun rivalry. But, man, good question. Thank you for asking.
Anybody else got a question for Coach Garth?
I kind of have a follow-up question. So, like, once you have, like, your highlights or whatever, what do you do with them? You just keep them on, like, your huddle? Like, who do you send it to?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, man. I mean, this is hilarious. So our three dudes this year, Aiden Dorr, Wyatt Herther, Levi Palmer, all seniors, they all got scholarships and they all accepted and they're all going to play college football. It's not big time. It's not D1. Two of them are going to play D2, which I think is awesome. You need a coach that is going to spin that thing out.
I'm so sorry.
We just lost sound, Coach. I'm on a laptop, so just a sec.
I'm so sorry. I was trying to get her charged.
All right, we just took Omar, the dude who's trying to get his GPA up to the D1 minimum, just unplugged all of our stuff. So, you're on the laptop still, though.
Omar, you good? It's all good, bro. It happens. It's all good. No worries, man. You good?
That team behavior.
That was my bad.
Dude, you're fine. Man, it's all good. Hey, man, it's all good. So you need to have a coach send it out. And here's the people you need to be sending it to. If it's small-time football like NAIA D3, make sure you're sending your film to the coaches. If it's even D2. If it's D1, you're wasting your time sending your film to the coaches. You need to find the director of recruiting. That's why you're not hearing anything back. You can send to the coaches, but I've never seen one of our, at least where I've been at, I've never heard a coach be like, oh yeah, this kid DM'd me on Twitter, so I followed him and now we're going to offer him. You need to find the recruiting department. So, all right, share the screen here. I'll show you who ours was when we were there. All my conspiracy theories. I'm glad you guys get to see what I will look at on Twitter. I'm always looking at conspiracy theories. So here you go. Here's who you need. It's not going to let me zoom in. You guys probably can't read that, can you? Can you read that, Coach?
It's not on the screen.
We don't see your screen. We see your face still.
All right, let's see here. Oh, that's good. You didn't have to see my conspiracy theories. That's good.
There we go.
All right, we got it.
You probably can't read that, can you?
Just barely. Director of Recruiting Systems and Strategies, Nebraska Football.
Everyone has one. You need to go look. It's going to take work, but you need to go Google. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to go for? You need to go Google, like, Oregon Director of Recruiting, Nebraska Director of Recruiting. He has his DMs open, or maybe it's because he follows me, but I'm pretty sure he has his DMs open, even if it don't follow. But he was one of the few coaches that actually made it. He didn't get fired. Rule kept him. He's a dude. But you need to go follow and DM these guys. Don't go follow the coaches and blow them up. You need to find out who's the director of recruiting. Everyone has one, and you need to blow them up. So, and then you just need a coach to go on your behalf, man. So here's the funny story that I was going to tell you guys. So our three dudes all got scholarships and offers and went on. Thunder Basin's coaches aren't helping them at all. So they DM'd me and they're like, can you help get us an offer? So two of Thunder Basin's best players, I'm trying to help get them offers. I don't know if I can. I'm not Houdini. I'm not some magician, but I'm going to try. Cause that's the key. You just need coaches, and that's not a knock on your coach that he hasn't been or not. It's I'm not saying your coach hasn't been helping you. Not what I'm saying, but you need to bug them. Like, my players will be like, have you sent my film out? And I'm like, shoot, nope, not yet. And then, all right, I'll go send it out for them. But you need to send it, and you need to be having your coaches like, hey, go on my behalf and send this footage to them. So that's what you do with your footage once you get it. You just got to be a madman sending it out to everyone, and do not be afraid of the level. Go look up NAIA football programs close to you. Go look up D3. Go look up D2. I get it. Your dream is to play D1 like all of my players, and I hope you can, and I hope you do. I hope you go D1. I think you're good enough that you absolutely can. But if you don't be afraid to grind from smaller level. So
yeah, I'll send you what I do, and then you can give me your feedback.
Love it. I could probably learn from you.
Okay. That was awesome. I don't know anybody else in the world that does what this guy does.
Oh gosh.
One of my buddies from college is the media director at Montana State, but he hasn't done anything on the football side. He started off just filming practice in a scissor lift, and now he runs that department. And he's for a FCS level, like they have a great media recruiting creative content side. So you're not the only nerdy dude I know that does that stuff, but Coach Garce gave up like a huge chunk of his morning drumming time to share his knowledge and help you be better prepared for college and leadership. Let's give Coach Garce the 5 clap. Ready, ready.
Thanks, Coach, for having me. Thanks, guys. Best of luck.
Yeah, I'll send you a text, man, but that was awesome. They were laughing, and a lot of these have been serious, and yours was funny, and like your story, you got to write a book.
Hey, Chloe.
It's not done yet.
Chloe.
Yeah.
Done yet.
And now that I know what you do with podcasts, I'm going to bug you about just kind of like a project that I'm working on that may or may not come to fruition.
Oh, dude, hit me up. I love it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Coach. And then I'll just show the recording of this to the class tomorrow so they both get it.
Thank you, brother. My day job will appreciate that.
Yeah, no, thank you, because you're the one that gave up your time to share what you know with our kids, and that's a big deal to me.
You just sent me a
dude. No, I'm humbled I could talk to him, man. Especially for you, brother. You've been super nice, man.
Yeah, well, that's the bare minimum to say hey before a game. So I have a story about when we were talking which one's the new guy, but I'll tell you that another time.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, what's you got to follow up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what's up?
What's up, man?
Caleb Warburg. Hi, yeah. I'm Caleb Warburg. What's up?
Yeah, what's up, brother? It's good to see you, man.
I don't really know if I want to do the next level, but I just haven't really put a whole lot into it. Is it?
Yeah.
Do you think it's too late, or like, what's the deal?
What grade are you?
I'm a senior. I'm like, I haven't. I oh, I my
you're
highlight
dumb.
Reels like, yeah, I'm.
No, it's not too late, but you're gonna need to go walk on and grind. You can do it, bro. Do it. Right? You gotta think 10 times for what your life than what you're thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't settle. Go be great, man. No, you can absolutely do it. So what you would need to do is you need to find the nearest small time football, either D3 or NAI. You need to find the closest school that you would want to go to that has your degree, and you need to find that head coach, because they're not going to have a director of recruiting. They're just going to have a head coach and some coaches.
Yeah.
And you need to email him and say, yeah, I want to walk on because you're coming into this late. And so you need to be like, and then just go earn it, bro. Go work your butt off, grind, and you can do it, man. You just got to It's those daily deposits that I was telling you about. You need to be in the weight room every single day and lift like your life depends on it, man. And you can still do it. It would just take a lot of work, man, but you could do it.
Yeah. And I think he's going to get opportunities. Like, there's not a lot of D3s around here or that I know, but D2 places I know would let him walk on, but even NAIA schools like in Montana and the Dakotas. His thing is he has a good frame and his athleticism is off the charts. Like, he's a track guy, he's a hurdler. And so I know when you're talking about like being a twitchy D end, like he's probably an outside backer in an odd front more than he is a hand in the dirt D end in an even front. But
love it.
That's a unique skill set to be long, like legit 6'2.5", and then runs like a 4.5 40 on our electronic system. Hasn't missed a day of lifting in years.
No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, you're a dude. Don't give up on it. Please keep going. Do not give up on it, man.
Yeah, he'll find a place. You also got to figure out what you want to study, because like he said, you got to know what major.
Probably you want. Like PT.
So like pre-physical therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one of my former players. What's that, coach?
I said that should be pretty easy. I think that a lot of schools have that.
Yeah, and I think any kind of kinesiology, physiology stuff.
Like, good at it. Like, I'm really good at it. Like, that anatomy class has been a breeze for me.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
And most kids say anatomy's a pain, so.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll send you what I do, and then you can give me feedback, because you've been in that world way more than me, man.
No, I'm still learning. Send me what you do, and I'll probably learn from you.
Yeah, if you want me to make you a copy of it, it's just a Google sheet that has all the kids, and then I do, like, a shortened URL, so it's easy to just text coaches and it never changes year to year. Just made my life easier.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, send it to me, brother. That's awesome.
Yeah, least I could do for you, man. Well, thanks for your time, especially the post talk with this guy.
Oh, of course, man. I'm rooting for you, dude. You're a stud, man. Go. I thought you were a junior. I didn't know you were done, but no, go keep fighting, bro. Go keep fighting.
Sweet. Okay. We're going to get to our next class and let you get on to the next video.